Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
July 23rd. I had a very hard decision to make today.
For kids like Andrea, summer is a time of epic, life-changing moments.
Chris asked me out. He didn't really say those exact words, but I knew what he meant. And now I don't know what to do. I like Sam more than Chris, I think. But I love Chris too. I hope I don't make the wrong choice. July 24th. I made the wrong choice. I told Chris it just wasn't the right time. And the worst of it is, I have to leave tomorrow. I love summer, but I hate that it ends so fast.
And it's epic summer milestones like that that made us think of Kate, a person we met when she appeared on our other show, a podcast for kids aged 9 to 13 called Ooh, You're in Trouble. In the episode, Kate shared a story that made us nostalgic for the crazy adventures that teenagers tend to get into when they're bored in the heat of summer.
I am Kate. When I was 14, I stole my mom's car even though I was too young to drive.
And while her story was produced for a show aimed at kids, it's one of those tales of ridiculous misguided rebellion that felt like something we'd actually hear on this show. And since we plan to take our own summer vacation this week, we thought, rather than leave you without something new to hear, we'd share that story, one of our favorite from the series, with you. A story about a girl who sets out on the shortest and yet most epic summer road trip ever. So we'll return with another Mortified episode in a few weeks. And in the meantime, enjoy this temporary Ooh, You're in Trouble takeover. An episode which may or may not feature some off-key singing by yours truly. And if you know any parents looking for a podcast for kids, please consider letting them know about the show. So without further ado, let's stir up some trouble.
I think there's a really good rush you get when you break the rules. Like that feeling that something might happen, something different, is really thrilling.
Ever since she was little, Kate had an adventurous side. A side that was often stifled by the fact that she lived in a small, quiet town in the Midwest.
It's very picturesque, rolling cornfields.
But for Kate, the good news was that excitement was never far away, because if she really listened close, she could always hear the call of adventure. Like those rare moments as a small child when she'd
drive a tractor on your parents' lap.
Or those times when her parents let her take over the wheel of the family car when she was just
like 10 or 11, riding around with my dad, kind of quote-unquote driving. Been out on like backcountry roads going 20 miles an hour.
Come on, quit driving like a 10-year-old. Oh, you are a 10-year-old.
When Kate became a teenager, she craved even bigger adventures. But two things stood in her way. The first was Emma, her little sister.
She's such a worrywart.
Hey, I'm not a worrywart.
I definitely was more nefarious than she was. I kind of will always be like, we could go a little harder, go a little further. It could be fun.
And the bigger thing that stood in her way, having a dad who lived by a strict code of conduct.
My dad was in the Navy. We had a lot of rules.
Let's go, ladies. Forward march, double time, left, right, left, right, left.
He's one of those guys that, like, frequently are like, oh, no, sir, you need to not be yelling. And he's not yelling. He's just talking.
How was your day at school? I hope you learned a lot. I love you very much, daughter.
He's just the loudest human being I've ever met.
This is my quiet voice.
And when they were caught breaking a rule, like watching TV before they did their homework, Dad would often
have these giant overreactions and try and ground everyone for like a year, to where my mother would like slowly step him back of like, that's not a reasonable thing to do to an 8-year-old, John.
So by the time Kate turned 14, she'd grown way tired of feeling like a cadet.
That definitely made me more rebellious.
Then one day, Kate's quest for excitement met its biggest obstacle yet, the most boring day ever.
It's just this soaking kind of heat where it feels wet when you walk outside and you're just immediately sweating.
It was a hot, sticky summer day. While mom and dad were at work, Kate was stuck at home babysitting her little sister and her little sister's best friend, Ashley.
Just so hot, you can hardly move. No one is playing anything outside anymore. Not even the dogs wanted to be outside.
After hours of boredom, a desperate Emma and Ashley turned to Kate and pleaded,
why won't you feed us? Why don't you love us? Like, please make us lunch.
So Kate led the girls into the kitchen.
We're just kind of going through everything.
But nothing sounded good. The room was filled with a humid desperation. And that's when Kate thought of something that could save the day.
We could get French fries.
Emma and her friend instantly lit up.
French fries!
French fries was never not going to be an excellent food option.
And not just French fries, but also...
we could get French fries and milkshakes.
French fries and milkshakes!
We need this milkshake. Like, this is the ultimate milkshake that we need on today, the hottest day that's ever been.
But there was one big catch with Kate's thrilling idea. French fries and milkshakes were something they could only get at...
the McDonald's up the road from our house.
So, despite the awful heat...
we got on our bikes... there were no clouds, no wind. We're immediately sweating and about 2 minutes down the road and we're like, nope, we'll die. We can't do this.
They returned home, defeated. But as they walked past mom's SUV parked in the driveway, Kate heard it. The call of adventure. She turned to Emma and Ashley and said,
well, there is this car here.
That's true. Also true, you're only 14, so I know you couldn't possibly be suggesting that you actually drive said car.
Seemed so outlandish of a concept to bring up.
Just to be clear, you're not even old enough to have a learner's permit?
Yep.
And mom and dad aren't home?
Yep.
And yet you're 100% sure that this is what
you...
never mind the fact that...
I'd never driven alone. I'd only ever driven with my parents or my grandparents.
Nevertheless, Kate was determined. Despite Emma and me, LV, the voice inside your head, saying...
Dad will kill us.
And followed by Emma saying...
my sister was like, what if you crash the car?
Another great point by Emma, but one that didn't even make a dent.
I was like, I won't crash the car. Like, it's 5 minutes. I can't possibly crash the car in 5 minutes.
Clearly, Kate hadn't heard that statistic. You know, the one that Emma likely knew by heart.
52% of car accidents happen within 5 miles of the driver's home.
The sisters found themselves in a tense standoff. Luckily, the tie-breaking vote was standing right next to them. Emma's BFF, Ashley.
Guys, please. Even I know this is a totally unrealistic idea.
Her friend, Ashley, was consistently trouble.
I mean, unless we can find the keys.
Ashley was officially on board. But could Kate come up with something powerful enough to change her sister's mind? What if she cited facts, figures, stats, risk analysis reports? But since the data was not likely to be in her favor, she went with a more emotional appeal and exclaimed,
what if everything goes great and then we get milkshakes?
Perfect! But just to be sure, much like a great milkshake, she laid it on thick.
Like, aren't you excited about the milkshake? You can have chocolate. You love chocolate. There's nothing better than a chocolate milkshake. It'll come with whipped cream on top. There's a cherry. You can have my cherry.
And did this argument, which sounds oddly like a McDonald's commercial, actually work on Emma?
Well, I mean... I do want a milkshake.
And with that, Kate grabbed the keys and headed for the door. Of course, in all that excitement, she forgot to mention one kind of important detail.
Driving's not my favorite. It was definitely something that made me really nervous.
Sounds like Kate and Emma, and really anyone within a 5-mile radius, was suddenly facing a big dilemma. Which means we must be pulling up to this episode's
Rule Break,
where we ask you to weigh in.
This is the part my parents liked.
But secretly, I like it too.
Ready?
Ready!
Growing up, is it ever okay to drive a car without a license? Even if it's just a short ride?
Yeah.
Maybe.
No.
Totally.
I don't know.
What do you think? Mull it over as our story continues.
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
Not long after they made their big decision, the trio nervously stepped onto the driveway. The question wasn't if they were going to borrow Mom's car, but how?
You can't get busted for something that there's no evidence that you've done, so you've got to make sure you destroy any receipts.
But doing that wasn't going to be easy, because Dad wasn't just a detail-oriented Navy guy. He was also a detail-oriented car guy.
He was like one of those guys that like got his car washed like every like other week, and like anything that got like a scratch on it, it would have been immediately noticeable.
Look at that shine! As good as new!
To not get caught, they needed to be just as detail-oriented as Dad. That meant the car, the driveway, the house had to look exactly the same afterward.
The main barrier we hit was like, how will we get the car back in the right space?
First, they placed a trash can at the front of the car to mark the exact parking spot. Next, they marked the spot of each tire with sidewalk chalk. But then they realized when the car backs out of the driveway, it has to go over a bed of loose gravel. And
I wasn't sure how much the rocks moved around.
Convinced Dad would notice even one misplaced pebble, Kate grabbed her phone and went all CSI.
We took some pretty thorough forensic-style photos of the driveway to try and assess where the rocks were and if we would need to move any of the little tiny gravel rocks when we got the car back.
After nearly an hour, they were finally ready to go. But
how do we know that the car has not been, like, booby-trapped in some way to prevent us from taking the car?
After a thorough investigation revealed that, shockingly, Mom's SUV was not, in fact, booby-trapped, they got in.
Emma insisted on riding in the back. She was so concerned we were gonna crash. I think I had to talk her out of wearing a bike helmet. She was, like, in the middle with, like, a series of seatbelts, and I was like, stop being this anxious, you're fine.
I'm not anxious, I just prefer not dying!
We had, like, compromised on one pillow as, like, her protective instrument here.
Well, Emma was preparing for the worst.
Her friend Ashley was sitting up front with me and, like, giddy and really excited about it. She was all jazz.
Look out, world, we're hitting the roads!
Kate grabbed hold of the steering wheel, put the key in the ignition, and turned on the car. And apparently, also the radio.
So it was just like country pop station immediately. Like some guy going on about freedom and cows and whatever.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about cows. I'm talking about whatever, yeah.
That seemed like some sort of grand universe gesture that what we were doing was okay. Like, what could go wrong?
That was freedom, cows, and whatever. And now, here's what could go wrong. Why, everything. Just all of it. It could all go horribly wrong on Rebellious Kid Radio.
And regardless of what signals the radio was or was not giving to Kate, she was convinced.
This is so cool. I am so grown up. I am driving a car. No one else is here. I am the most in charge, which is a really thrilling feeling.
And then came the magic moment. The moment when she shifted the car out of park and into reverse. Suddenly, the car began to move. And seconds later, Kate's excitement also went into reverse.
Oh my God, I'm the most in charge. What am I gonna do? Like, what if something happens here? This is such a bad idea.
But Kate just spent the last hour becoming a forensic scientist. She'd come way too far to turn back now.
So Ashley got out and helped me back up, which was terrible because neither of us really knew how to back someone out of a driveway.
Kate looked through the back window where Ashley was
kind of just like, I don't know. Back out, like, seems fine.
Somehow, the car made it onto the street without hitting anything. And not even Ashley.
See, Emma? Piece of cake.
With that, Kate took a deep breath, placed her hand on the shifter, and...
actually, like, physically move the car, like, into drive.
And just like that, she was on her way. All was well. Then they rolled up to the intersection.
Just as we arrived, like, a car comes past. Oh my God, like a real car has come by here. That's so scary.
Scary also because Kate needed to make a left turn. And making a left turn for a brand new driver?
That was terrifying, having to go left and not right since we had to cross both lanes of traffic. And then like another car goes by. Felt like there were 100 cars going by consistently. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrifying. We must have sat there for like 10 minutes, just waiting until it was completely free of cars.
Things weren't looking good.
I was like, I'm never gonna be able to turn off of this road. Like, we're just gonna have to sit here until my mom comes home and then we'll die.
In other words, Kate couldn't decide what was scarier, driving onto a main road with actual cars or getting caught by mom and dad. But then she thought,
we're gonna get busted regardless. We should at least go get milkshakes out of this because we've already moved the car somewhere.
And with that, Kate courageously turned onto the main road. A hero to anyone who's ever cared about milkshakes.
Originally, we started off going really slow, like 3 miles an hour. Ashley is sitting next to me and is like,
you cannot go this slow. We are gonna get pulled over.
Then, a few clicks down the road, they noticed something approaching in the rearview mirror. No, it wasn't the police, but it was something just as scary. A fast approaching, very imposing
big truck. This dude comes behind us and, like, flashes his brights.
Get it, move on! I don't got all day!
And then he just honks, and that was terrifying.
And moments later, the truck driver aggressively pulled up alongside their car.
Where'd you get your license, crackerjack box?
It definitely felt like we were going to be run off the road, and we were gonna get stuck with the car covered in corn stalks.
And then the angry trucker floored the gas. And pulled ahead. Left in a cloud of dust, Kate managed to stay on the road, but they were definitely shaken, especially Emma.
The entire rest of the car ride, she was just like, we're all gonna die. This is the end of us all as children. Like, it's been really nice making it to 12, but I will surely make it no more years.
And if there's one thing a first-time unlicensed driver really wants, it's a backseat driver with no filter.
It definitely made it harder to drive with someone complaining constantly in the back, which I kept trying to tell her was not helpful. And I was like, I need you to just shut up for a minute and be calm so I can be calm. And we're just yelling at each other. And Ashley is cracking up. This is all great fun for her. She's just like,
this is the best day of my life!
Soon, it wasn't just Ashley who was filled with excitement, because just over the horizon, they spotted the Golden Arches. They could practically taste those delicious milkshakes. But instead of feeling relieved, there was actually more anxiety.
Upon originally seeing the McDonald's, there's a little bit of panic of like, what should we do? Should we go in or should we go through the drive-thru? And we hadn't talked about that. So as I'm like making the turn, I'm just like, what should we do? What should we do? What should we do? Like, and they're both like,
we don't know.
And then I was like, ah, drive-thru. And they were like,
drive-thru.
But the drive-thru presented new challenges. After all, if Kate needed help backing out of a double wide driveway, imagine her suddenly trying to steer the car through a narrow, really, really skinny drive-thru lane.
I kept asking everyone to look out the sides of the car. It was just like, well, what if we hit the building suddenly? I think we ended up being like too far away from the building.
Welcome to the McDonald's drive-thru.
And if Kate was worried about getting caught driving a car, it probably wasn't a great idea to drive said car right up to the order menu, where she would definitely be captured on camera doing exactly that.
What can I get for you guys today?
Sure, Kate might not have looked old enough to drive, but that didn't stop her from trying to sound like it.
I distinctly remember trying to sound older as I was ordering, and I got my voice a little deeper. It was just like,
excuse me, ma'am, we require 3 milkshakes of various flavors.
Just ordering like an insane person. The McDonald's person responded and was like,
Okay. It sounded like you said various flavors. Do you mind being a lot more specific?
And I was like,
all of the flavors. One of each flavor, and we need French fries, three French fries, the large French fries.
Okay, let me try and repeat that back to you.
With the order placed, Kate drove carefully around to the pickup window where the car was still too far away from the building.
So I had to like halfway step out of the car to hand the McDonald's employee the money for this.
And then,
when the person finally like handed us our food, I was like, okay, goodbye. Like felt like we were like tearing out of the McDonald's.
But in reality,
we went normal speed.
Nonetheless, they'd actually done it. The car was suddenly filled with exhilaration.
Like, mission accomplished. We have to get home.
And also, it was filled with the enticing aroma of French fries.
The big fight then became if we could have a fry on the way home.
Just a few? Come on, how about one?
And I was like, we will not have any fries on the way home. What if we spill them? Like, what if we accidentally spill the milkshake on the seat? We're never gonna be able to get that cleaned up.
Maybe it was the result of being in the driver's seat, or maybe it was the result of knowing what it's like to schlep two whiny kids around town. But somewhere along the way of doing something irresponsible, Kate suddenly found herself grappling with something even worse than Dad's wrath. The feeling that she had become the responsible parent in the car.
Gosh, Kate, you're such a mom right now.
Minutes later, they pulled into the driveway. Somehow, they made it all the way to McDonald's and back unscathed. And then, guided by the chalk marks and trash can they set up, she got the car into the same exact spot she left it. She grabbed the food and the kids, ran into the basement, and sat down for the most beautiful sound on earth.
It was the most satisfying milkshake I've ever had. The level of danger, both real and perceived, that was like invested in this to get to this milkshake made it so satisfying. The cool, sweet milkshake and like crispy, salty French fries.
But for all the effort it took, the milkshake and fries were gone within minutes. What remained were empty cups, wrappers, and ketchup packets. Kate knew there was no time to bask in the afterglow. After all,
you've got to make sure you destroy any receipts.
So Kate took charge and organized the cleanup. Paranoid, she decided they should
wander the neighborhood and hide one piece of McDonald's trash in everyone's trash can. It seemed less suspicious to put like one milkshake container in someone's trash and then like one fry box in a different trash.
Then the stars of CSI Middle School returned to the driveway where they pulled out their forensic images and
examined the gravel in the driveway to see if it looked different. It didn't. And we moved the trash can back.
They scrubbed off the chalk marks and aired out the car.
We Febrezed it intensely.
Then Kate made sure
everyone agreed that we would never, ever tell our parents.
Pinky swear on your life.
Pinky swear on my life.
That was a secret that you were going to take to your grave. You could never tell anyone.
Well, except for a podcast audience.
Yep.
And did she get caught?
We were sitting in the basement watching a movie. And my dad came in and he was like,
so this is what you've been doing all day?
And we were like, yep, just watched movies all day.
That is a very convincing answer. You are a ray of sunshine in daddy's eyes.
And miraculously, he never noticed anything different about the car. And neither did mom.
The next day, she took the car and we were really, really nervous as she pulled away from the driveway. And when she came home from work, she never said anything about it.
The sisters were never caught. Not by their parents, by patrolmen, another driver, or anyone. Despite all that, if she could go back and relive that day, Kate isn't so sure she'd do it again.
We definitely didn't think about any of the real-life consequences. And I think if we had, we wouldn't have done it. The consequences were so much worse than getting a milkshake will ever be.
You know, like getting arrested, facing a judge, and having the car impounded. Or even worse, getting into a serious accident.
Like a year later from when we had done this, I had a couple kids that were like in my high school that died in a like drunk driving car accident. It was a really intense deal for our town, you know? Cars are real and powerful and scary.
So it sounds like Kate learned some pretty big lessons from her experience. But that's her. What's your takeaway from her story? Would you do the same in her shoes?
Yeah.
Maybe.
No.
Totally.
I don't know.
It's time to take out a journal or have a conversation with a friend for the continuation of our
rule break.
Earlier in the show, we asked, growing up, is it ever okay to drive a car without a license, even if it's just a short ride?
You mean you want my opinion?
Of course, yes, because your voice matters. So take a second and answer that. When you're done, ask yourself the following bonus questions. Who did you relate to most in the story? Rule breaker Kate, cautious Emma, or the best friend who went along for the ride? Why do you think you related to that person the most? If you were in Kate's shoes, what would you have done differently? And if you've ever been in Emma's shoes, how have you dealt with feeling like you might be viewed as a super cautious worrywart? And finally, when you get your driver's license, where would you want to go? And this concludes today's episode. Thanks for helping us break some rules today. Want to be on the show? Well, Troublemaker, we want you. Visit listentotrouble.com to find out how you can help us make some trouble like this. I'm
talking about freedom.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I'm talking about cows.
Moo, moo, moo.
I'm talking about whatever.
Stuff and things.
Our production team for this episode includes Rachel Carlson, Cece Clark, Ashley Lovesmith, Charlene Westbrook, Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, Neil Ketcher, and as the voice of LV, oh hey, what do you know? It's me, Merk Nguyen.
Moo, moo, moo.
Moo, moo, moo.
Moo, moo, moo.
Moo, moo, moo.
That's just what them cows do.
Additional vocal performances by Brooke Stone and Christina and Megan DeCoux, who, just like Kate and Emma, are real-life sisters with a knack for stirring up trouble. Like the time that they got sent to the ER after karate chopping a window. Yikes. This is a production made by Mortified Media for Trax, a network from PRX, with funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's also produced by Mortified Media, which not only makes shows like this one for tweens, but also makes nostalgia-filled shows, books, and games for grown-ups, too. Get the scoop at getmortified.com.
Everybody now.
Freedom.
I'm talking about
cows.
W-H-A-T-E-V-R. W-H-A-T-E-V-R. W-H-A-T-E-V-R.
Until next time, we remind you, sometimes when you break a rule, you might just end up writing a new one.
W-H-A-T-E-V-R. You ready to rock? I am. Mostly.